which we read. And I'm speaking in the first month of this year, the month to us we call January, the first month of a new year. And in particular, today is the 10th day of that month, the 10th day of the first month of the year. And I would like to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture which speaks to us specifically of this day, namely the 10th day of the first month of the year. I don't know if you picked that up in the reading that we had, the significance of this day to this reading. But you see in Exodus and chapter 12, God gave Moses and Aaron some instruction. And he said that this day for you, for your families, for all the tribes of Israel is going to be so momentous, of such importance and of such significance that you are to start your calendar afresh. That this month, which was incidentally the seventh month by their reckoning, is now to be called the first month. Rejig your calendar, restart your clocks, for this is to be the first month from now on for you. And these are the instructions, Moses, on the 10th day of this month. The first month, the beginning of months. And so we come on the 10th month of this new year to this passage which speaks about the 10th day of the first month. And they were given instructions. Instructions to take to all of Israel. My first point is found in verse 3. Speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Every man a lamb. You know, our gospel, the good news that we have in this book, it's for every man, every boy, every woman, every girl, every young person, every old person, from every part of the world, from every race upon this face of the earth. This gospel is for every man, for everybody. We have a gospel. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Lamb of God, and he is for everyone. They're instructed, take every man a lamb. Detailed, specific instructions. And if your house is too small, meet with your neighbour. Share with your neighbour. That happened, didn't it, a few weeks ago. People had giant birds, giant turkeys, and so they were shared out among neighbours. But every man was to calculate the lamb according to what they could eat. Share it with their neighbours if need be. But it couldn't just be any lamb. It couldn't just be the first that they came to. Special instructions and care were to be given, had to be taken. The lamb, verse 5, had to be without blemish. A male of the first year, without blemish. There could be no limp, no deformity. It couldn't be weak. It couldn't be underfed. It couldn't have anything abnormal about it. It had to be without blemish. Perfect. You can imagine the family would go to their flocks and they would select the most perfect lamb that was there to be found. That family took it. into their home. They brought the lamb and they brought it into their house. Can you imagine the children of that family playing with the lamb? We all love to see lambs, don't we? We all love to see young life, puppies and lambs and ducklings and chicks. It's wonderful, isn't it? And you can imagine the joy and the excitement of those children being allowed to have a baby lamb in the house. They started maybe treating it like a pet. The lamb that was taken into the house. But we have a lamb. It's pointed out to us in John chapter 1. John had been in the wilderness. He'd been preaching. He'd been pointing to one that would come. He'd been telling all of his hearers about a saviour, about God's promise. And one day, Jesus comes. John stops and he points. He says, "Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb." He said that to a people who had been celebrating this festival, this Passover, for thousands of years, just as Moses had instructed. This is to be remembered throughout all your generations. They had been, down through the centuries, even into millennia, they'd been celebrating this lamb, this night in Egypt. And so the Israelites knew that. They knew this of the lamb. They also knew of their father Abraham. And how when God had said to Abraham, "Take now thine son, thine only son whom thou lovest, and offer him there for a burnt offering." How Abraham had been obedient and had taken Isaac, his son. When Isaac had said, "But Father, we have the wood for the offering, we have the fire, but where is the lamb?" Abraham had prophetically said, "God will provide himself a lamb." God did provide himself a lamb. The lamb. The lamb that John says, "Behold, look to Jesus, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." These Israelites, they'd been remembering this Passover. They knew the story of Abraham. They knew themselves how many millions of lambs had been offered in the temple as sacrifices over the years. But they knew that not one of those lambs, not one of the lambs had ever been able to cleanse them from their sin. And John says, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world." So my first point, take every man a lamb. They took the lamb. They had it in their houses for 3 days. And they observed in those 3 days just how perfect that lamb was. Maybe that lamb and all the other lambs in all the other houses in Egypt that night had gone unnoticed before. They'd been lost in the flocks. But now they'd been singled out. They'd been observed. And over those 3 days, they could see that there was no fault found in that lamb. You know, for almost all of Jesus' life, we know nothing about. For 30 years, he was on earth. And then we know the last 3 years, he was observed. He was watched. Stories were told about him. Not one fault was found. surely this man has done nothing amiss. When they tried to convict Jesus, they could find no charge to bring against him. No fault had been found. There was no blemish. He was the spotless Lamb of God. And secondly, I'd like us to turn to verse 7. Take of the blood. Take of the blood, that lamb that on the 10th day was singled out, kept in the home for 3 days. It was then killed. The whole congregation of Israel killed it in the evening. There was bloodshed. They took the blood of that lamb. They caught it. They collected the blood. What did they then do with it? They dabbed it on the doorposts, on the side posts of their houses. The door that came in and out was marked with blood. You ever seen people do that? The shape of the cross. On the doorposts and the lintel of their houses, the blood was shed. The blood was applied. And then that night, the angel of the Lord passed over, and he smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. But that blood, it was a sign, it was a token, that when the Lord saw the houses where that blood was, he passed over. He saw the blood. The blood stood out to him, and he passed over. Death has already occurred. That lamb has already been killed. Have you taken of the blood of Jesus? You know, there are many people, they would have Jesus, they would have him as a teacher, and they would quote quite readily some of the teachings of Jesus. Love your neighbour as yourself. Is there anyone in the world who would disagree with that? And the peace that would come about from that being applied. And there are people who take the teachings of Jesus. They would seek to apply them to their own life. They would seek to share those good teachings with others. There are other people who would have Jesus as a prophet. They would say that this was such a special man, such a wise person, a person so obviously blessed by God, that his words are to be treated as the words of a prophet. I can think of Muslims. That is what I think they believe about Jesus, that he was a prophet. And his words need to be taken seriously. His life stands as a prophet, as the prophets of old. So there are some that would have Jesus as a teacher. There were others that would have him as a prophet. There are others that would see Jesus as being a rebel in the right spirit of being a rebel, a freedom fighter, one who's not afraid to stand against society, to be different, not afraid to stand up for what they thought was right. There are people that take inspiration from Jesus standing against the Romans in that fashion, standing against society, standing against the accepted religious tradition. They saw how Jesus didn't follow the religious teachings of the Pharisees with all their dreamt up ceremonies. No, he stood against that. He wasn't afraid to rebel. There are people who want to be rebels, who take inspiration from Jesus. But you know, none of that really counts. What really counts about Jesus is the blood. It's the blood that's an offence to those that would just have him as a teacher. It's his blood that's an offence to those that would just have him as a prophet. You want to offend a Muslim? Tell him that Jesus cannot be your prophet until you take his blood and trust only in his blood and have his blood for you, the token, the sign that your sins are dealt with. It's the blood of Jesus that's an offence to those that would see Jesus as a rebel to be emulated. Take of the blood, take it and apply it. The Israelites had to apply the blood to their houses. It had to be there for them, a sign. The blood had to be shed. Jesus' blood had to be shed for death to pass over us. It was shed. It was shed on a cross. All of the things that we read about, from Abraham offering Isaac to this Passover, they were just pointing towards the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he took it away by his blood being shed. Have you had his blood applied to you? Thirdly, I would like us to look to verse 11 of chapter 12. How they were to eat it. Thus you will eat it with your loins girded. They would wear big long cloaks and robes. When they're about to do physical activity, they would pick up their clothes and bind them up with a belt around them. So they had to have their clothes ready to set about activity. They were to have their shoes on their feet, and they were to have their staff or their stick in their hand. That's not how meals are taken, is it? Meals are taken when we sit down, we relax, we take our shoes off, we take our outside coats off. And so this was to be a meal like they'd never eaten before. They were to eat it, ready to go. Ready to embark upon the journey that they were to go on. They were to flee that night from Egypt. They were to flee into the wilderness, the peninsula, the desert peninsula, mountainous area of Sinai, and they were to be pursued by the Egyptian armies. And so they were to take of that meal, to partake of that lamb, ready to move, to be about action, to set out on a journey. And I think there's a message here, a word here for those of us that are Christians, those of us that have taken of the blood of Jesus. Have we taken up the work? It's easy maybe to say that you'll follow Jesus, but actually to do that, it involves work. It involves equipping yourself, girding up your loins, putting some practical footwear on, and having a staff in your hand. To follow Christ is not easy. It involves action. Maybe you could examine your own heart to see what work you've been about for Jesus this week. Have you had an easy life? Have you taken your ease? Have you, as it were, sat down with your shoes off, your coat off, to partake of some nice things about Jesus, to have some nice teachings of him, to read some lovely things about him? Or have you girded up your loins, put your feet in some workable shoes, and got your staff in your hand, and asked what you can do to serve Jesus? Serving Jesus is hard work. If you come to Jesus, even now, today, as I hope and pray you will, if you've not done so before, if you've taken on, you take today of the blood of Jesus. It's not a life of ease that awaits. It's not a life of pleasure. It's a life that needs you to be equipped, to go about some hard work, to flee, to run, to exert yourself. The Israelites spent 40 years wandering that desert before they came to the promised land. And if you come to Christ today, it's likely that there'll be years ahead of difficulties, of hardships, of trials, that your faith may be proved, that your faith may be tested, that you can embark upon some work for Him, that you can bring for Him other souls. So this morning, have you taken of Jesus? Are you taken of Jesus with your loins girded, with your sandals on, and a staff in your hand? We've looked at three things. Take every man a lamb. And this message is for everybody. Take of the blood. You cannot have Jesus if you won't take and apply the blood, His blood that was shed for sin. Take it this morning. And if you have taken of the blood of Jesus, I'd encourage you to gird up your loins and to be about His work and His business. Amen.